The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to the Punt Podcast. It's Sunday, December the 27th. Just as a little bit of a guide for you all out there. These are for the Premier League games, Monday the 28th, Tuesday the 29th, and Wednesday the 30th. I still nearly got it wrong. Derek McGovern's with me, Lee Phelps, to preview the games. You right, Derek? How's Christmas been treating you?
Yeah, not too bad. Actually, got everything I wanted from Santa, and mostly the kids have been behaving themselves for once. So all being well.
I must say, you know, if there's any noise, then it'll be my kids recording this at home. You know, Sunday night, Derek. You know, we're at home. Like, do you know what happened? We know our colleague Dave Callender, who wasn't in for Christmas week.
Exactly.
Texted me today. Spencer going out for a drink tonight. Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm working. I mean, Mrs. is out.
Yes, what's known as leaving in the lurch, isn't it? Yeah. But where the poor saps who have to work on a Sunday night over Christmas, and he's out gallivanting. Typical.
And I have to tell you that after we'd finished recording, he texted me saying that his nap for Boxing Day was Everton. I edited it in at the end.
Why?
For him. I don't know. I'm a nice guy. 6-5, he won. But, you know, it's only 6-5, isn't it? Yeah. It's not much better than a loser, Prince.
Yeah, a goal was coming in that game, wasn't it? Even when it went into injury time, he just knew a goal was coming. Sadly, it went for Everton.
Absolutely. I didn't tell him that we'd gone for, like, you know, Christmassy bets, you know, big ballsy bets,
yeah,
with his 6-5. So ours didn't land, but we'll see. He sent me a napping for this one as well. So when we get to the game, I'll let everyone know. Let's kick it off with a cracking game for lots of reasons. This is on Bank Holiday Monday, 5:30 p.m. It's Manchester United versus Chelsea. We'll come back to all the other bank holiday games after we've done these TV fixtures. It's an absolute bell to this. Everyone will be looking forward to this. Not least, Derek, because of the managers. You know, we've got this unbelievable tale. Louis van Gaal has, as we record this, not taken training, we're told, on the Sunday. Giggs has taken training. Some people are kind of suggesting he might even be there in time for this match. I suggest he probably will be. And we've got the Chelsea new manager who comes in. All the players are playing for him. Suddenly everything looks a little bit different to how it looked maybe 2 weeks ago, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, two teams managed, or at the moment, managed by a Dutchman. You know, you look at this game, at the beginning of the season, you'd have looked at this game, 28th of December, Man United home to Chelsea. It was a title battle. Well, it still is, and that title being most disappointing team of the season, and it's hard to choose between United or Chelsea. I suspect by the end of the season it'll be United, because Chelsea may be on the road back under Gus Hiddink, under Van Gaal, Louis Van Gaal. Man United on the road to nowhere, it seems. And if he stays in charge after what happened on Saturday, if he's in charge for this game, I'll be surprised. You know, I think I really can't see Van Gaal sticking to his job after what's happened for United. And looking at these prices, there's only one team he can buy. Yeah, no point me going on about the form or recent performances, recent meetings between these two sides. All you need to know is that Chelsea are looking like a side that might be on the way back. United definitely not. They're a side all at sea. And it might change if Van Giggs is in charge for this game and Van Gaal's gone. It might change in the way that Chelsea's form showed a little bit of an upturn after Mourinho went. But that's a big if, and a 2-1. Again, Man United were favourites to beat Stoke on Saturday, and everybody and his dog knew that those prices were wrong. Well, these prices are wrong too. Chelsea have to be back there. I mean, would Ryan Giggs in charge be enough for Man United to beat Chelsea?
I don't think he would. What difference would it make?
No. Well, he's been in charge under the last two clowns, hasn't he, Giggs? He's been part of everything that's gone wrong at United. And I actually thought he didn't do himself any favours with his touchline antics. Not on Saturday, the game before, when he seemed to distance himself from his number one, didn't he, Van Gaal? You never see Giggs making histrionics from the touchline, but he did that day. And it was almost like an audition for the job, wasn't it? But I don't think he did himself any favours there. It was a show of disloyalty. And the players have been showing that for many, many weeks now. I can't see anything changing against Chelsea. It's a match between... the battle for ninth spot, it seems like, to me, this game. And Chelsea, I think, will win.
Yeah, the interesting thing with Giggs, Derek, is that, you know, obviously club legend, and we know that, a Premier League legend. But as you said, he has been there throughout all of this. And you'd imagine that even if Van Gaal was the man who led everything and he ruled with an iron fist and Giggs couldn't really get his point across, is that the kind of guy, that the kind of mentality you want taking over your football club? Really, you want Giggs to be a strong second in command who's able to say to Van Gaal, this isn't working, we want to do this, this and this. You don't really, even if even if Van Gaal's like, you know, not letting him have any opinion, that's not the guy you want.
No. Well, he's almost a modern day Phil Neal. Remember the infamous Phil Neal video in there? Do I not like that? Yes, boss. Yes, boss.
Not like that.
The nodding dog. Well, he's been like that, Ryan Giggs, for under Van Gaal. And also, what allows him to be manager of Man United? Okay, they're having a shocking season, but they're still Man United, probably, you know, one of the most famous clubs in the world. And Ryan Giggs' managerial experience, pretty much zero, apart from a few games as caretaker boss. Why should he suddenly step up to a job of that magnitude? I just don't see it.
No.
You know, the chances are he'll be in my eyes, he'll be in charge for this game against Chelsea. But I can't see him getting the job full time. Not with Mourinho in the background still, who's still there looking for a job.
And Pep Guardiola and Diego Simeone, there's quite a lot of managers kicking about at the minute who could walk into a job, who are very charismatic. I've heard a couple of people saying that Guardiola would rather have the Man United job than any other in England. So you never know.
He has said that, Lee. But would you, given that he's pretty much, you know,
Champions League football, don't you?
Man City have already, you know, they're moving heaven and earth to get them. If you have a Guardiola now, would you go to Man United before Man City? Yeah. Why would you? Why on earth would you? Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, only in as much as I suppose you've got, you know, you've got something to build on. But no, I'm with you, Derek. I don't see why you would go there when they've got Champions League football. I'm also with you in terms of the betting here. I mean, you can, as you said, we reel out Opta stats, we could reel out form and all sorts of stuff, but there's very little need. I think if you get in Chelsea at the minute, they should have beaten Watford, shouldn't they? That penalty goes in from Oscar and they've won the game probably. As it is, you know, they drew 2-2, but I think 2-1 Chelsea, I think is huge. I don't understand why that isn't that. That just seems like a great price to me, given the lack of confidence that Man United have got. And I think I'm right in saying Chelsea have beaten Man United more times than any other club in the Premier League as well. So, you know, I don't think Man United will be looking forward to playing this kind of revitalised Chelsea team. Big news though, Derek, and I'm surprised you're going with a 2-1 with the fact that Diego Costa's missing.
I'm now going to double my bet.
So we're both going for Chelsea, 2-1. Probably no need to go any further than that, really. Let's have a look at the next TV game: Leicester City versus Manchester City. Leicester are 11-4. The draw's 11-4, and Man City are 10-11. This is first versus third, of course, in the Premier League. Of all the places for the wheels to come off the bandwagon, Anfield. Surprise, surprise, Derek. I thought they just took the hubcaps, but they're taking the wheels off it. They looked fatigued, didn't they, Leicester?
Well, you know, a couple of people who were at the game tell me that Leicester looked tired. They looked, you know, as though the bubble really had burst. Now, I always caution about reading too much into one result. I mean, you'll see the prices later on in one of the games later on. I think it's the Southampton game. When it looks a massive overreaction to what happened on Boxing Day. I'm not sure this is a massive overreaction, though. City are just around the even money mark to beat a Leicester side who, you know, they weren't going to keep up the pace, really. We knew that. I like the look of City here. Good confidence boost and win for them at the week. Okay, they only beat Sunderland, but they beat them well. They beat them like a side that, to me, are still hot favourites to win the title. And I'll be surprised if they don't beat Leicester here. Leicester now will all of a sudden be thinking, oh, you know, Liverpool weren't even playing that well before they played us, and they were full value for the victory. You know, have the wheels fallen? They'll be questioning themselves when really they've been playing above the ground. And I think that might backfire on Leicester. I think this could be the end for them. I'm going to go for City here at 10-11.
Yeah, it looks a really good price. I think the big worry for them, obviously, are the injuries. And everyone's been saying it. We're not saying anything that no one's going to be surprised about here. But, you know, if Vardy and Mahrez aren't there, you know, I know they've got better players, you know, and they've got players in midfield who've been brilliant this season and all the rest of it, but it's those two guys who've been putting the ball in the back of the net. I think that would be a massive miss for them, wouldn't it? If they're not there, then that's enough for me. I think 10-11, I know they've been playing well, but the only problem with backing City at odds on is the fact they've only scored 8 goals in 8 games away from home, Derek.
Yeah, you know, I know. That is a worry.
Ordinarily, they wouldn't have the firepower to beat Leicester. On a normal, if Vardy and Mahrez are both playing and firing, I think I'd be going Leicester here. But if those two are missing, and we need to check the team news. At the minute, we're not getting an awful lot of team news because we're only like a day away from the last set of fixtures. But keep your eye out on that. If any suspicion that those two are playing with injuries or they're not quite at it, then I think I think City are a tremendous bet at 10 to 11.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, Vardy was almost certainly carrying an injury at the weekend because he didn't seem to be off a yard. And also, remember, Leicester's two defeats this season have come against Arsenal at home, by the way, a resounding defeat, and Liverpool. So two sides who are in the sort of the top, you know, where you'd say you were going to finish in the top half dozen. And Leicester haven't met many sides like that this season. You know, they've had a kind fixture list. Yeah, the result against Everton a couple of weeks ago was sensational. But just signs that maybe now the bubble has finally burst.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, they played Man U and Chelsea, but obviously it's not like
exactly.
Man U and Chelsea. Don't expect. The other guy I think it's worth looking out for here is Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know, but he was unbelievable on Boxing Day. Just ran the show, set three up and scored one himself. They were saying on Match of the Day that he's not as good away from home as he is at home, but maybe this is an ideal game for him to prove, maybe disprove that theory that he's a bit of a homeboy at the minute. So I think him to be involved in the in goals would be something I'd be looking at. You're going Man City, plain and simple?
Yeah, sensible. That's fair enough price, isn't it? Why would you need any more?
I think even though Leicester have been going great, I think it is a really nice price. Let's have a look at the next TV game, shall we? Let me just get that De Bruyne price before we move on, though. Kevin De Bruyne to score at any time is 13 to 5, which I think is a great little price. That Wilfred Bony, by the way, who's 11 to 8, so a decent price. He's scored in four of his last six appearances for Man City in all competitions. Still think I'm not quite sure about him. But
I'd rather have De Bruyne at those odds, definitely.
Yeah, he gets that much service, Bony, that he has to score. But obviously, De Bruyne is a much better player. Next up, let's have a look at Sunderland versus Liverpool. This is the TV game on Wednesday, the 30th. 15-4 Sunderland, who were trounced at Man City. 13-5 the draw, and Liverpool are priced up at 3-4. Let's start with Liverpool at 3-4, Derek, shall we, first of all? Obviously beat Leicester, fantastic. But, the fast becoming a team, you can't really trust at odds on prices.
No.
I know Sunderland are poor, but Sunderland are also a different team at home than they are away, aren't they?
I know. Obviously, guns to the head time and you have to pick a winner, you'd go for Liverpool. But again, these odds are reading too much into the most recent performance. Surely you should judge when you're going to have a bet, especially when you're considering backing at odds on away. Form over more than one game, and Liverpool's form over the last few has been pretty much rotten. Maybe they just met Leicester at the right time on Saturday. Leicester side that did look very tired. I wouldn't be touching them at 3-4 here. And you might say, well, listen, this is Liverpool at Sunderland, and they're almost the same price as Manchester City are to win at Leicester, who are top of the table. You know, why would you back City but not Liverpool? Well, how really atrocious performance by City are few and far between. There's been more than a handful from Liverpool already this term. I couldn't go for them with those odds. The thing about Sunderland is, I give them half a chance at the weekend on the handicap against City, and a couple of times recently they've been beaten before almost 20 minutes after the kickoff. Once you get off to a bad start, they're incapable of turning it round, Sunderland. But should they get the opening goal, you never know, it might give them a head of steam. And 15-4, they're almost worth a bet, aren't they? 4-1 at home against the Liverpool side that do definitely blow hot and cold, more so than any team in the Premier League, I think. I've got to give Sunderland one last chance here. They give me a bloody nose on a number of occasions. I can't catch them right, but I can't catch Liverpool right either. So just ignore everything I've said over the last 5 minutes.
We always do, Derek, to be fair. Don't worry about that. I can't have them at the odds on, but they've got an unbelievable record against Sunderland. You probably don't. I don't know if you realise this, Derek, but Sunderland fans must hate playing Liverpool. They've managed to pick up 2 points in the last six Premier League meetings with them: one none, drawn two, lost four. But they've lost 70 league matches against Liverpool. That's second only to Everton, who they've lost 71 against. So there's something about Merseyside and Sunderland that don't mix.
Yeah, we got the secret weapon this weekend, the red beach ball. Well, it was against Sunderland, wasn't it, the red beach ball?
Where did that go? Bring that back out.
Yeah.
They've won just 3 of 28 Premier League games against Liverpool as well, all by one goal margin, interestingly, at the Stadium of Light. You wouldn't be surprised if that was the scoreline. But I think Liverpool probably have a little bit too much for them here. The price is rubbish, I must admit.
Well, it is, Lee. That's the thing.
I couldn't touch the... Yeah, right. So Benteke is probably worth a look, though. I mean, I know he's not got many fans out there, but 13-10 for your main striker against Sunderland. Got to be a look. He scored 5 goals in 6 Premier League appearances against Sunderland. And that's more than any other team against, he's playing against. So, you know, maybe he obviously likes playing against them as well. Got a goal under his belt against Leicester. So I'll go for Benteke to score at 13-10 anytime. It's my bet in this one. I think it'll be a low-scoring game as well, Derek. I don't know what you think about
that. Yeah, it will be. There's no, this ain't going to be a goal fest.
Liverpool haven't scored in the last 3 away games, have they, including the Europa League?
Well, they were atrocious at Watford. They were atrocious at Newcastle. You know, and okay, yeah, you know, they got a Boxing Day crowd at Anfield. They're going to get a lift from that. But I just don't see them being worth it. 3-4, Christ, you know. Yeah. No, sorry, not having that.
That's well short, isn't it? Let's have a look at the non-televised games on Bank Holiday Monday, starting with, let's start with Norwich versus Aston Villa, shall we? Norwich are priced up at 21-20. It's 12-5 the price for the draw, and Aston Villa are 13-5. We'll look back at the Boxing Day fixtures, first of all. Aston Villa managed to get a 1-1 draw against West Ham. Norwich well beaten by Tottenham. I think that one of the few things I got right was Harry Kane to score 2 or more goals on Boxing Day. He was a bit too much for them, and Norwich had a real struggle against them. I suppose, you know, Norwich, you know, you'd say they're better at home, but haven't scored many goals. Only 9 goals scored, 1-2, drawn 3, and lost 3 as well. But then this is Aston Villa, Derek, yeah, who conceded 19 goals on the road this season, only scoring 9 themselves. So this is a game, just put simply, Derek, Norwich have to win this. If Norwich have got any pretensions to stay in the Premier League, they must win this game.
Yeah, and they will do as well. Oh, you know, losing 3-0 at Tottenham, it's no disgrace for a team like Norwich, is it? I expected them to do a little bit better because they seemed to me to have a bit of an upturn in form, particularly after that second half performance against Everton, and they followed up with a good win against United, wasn't it? It's just that I can't back Villa to win a 13-5 away from home. Okay, I'm happy to back in the past to a back Villa away from home, but not now, not in their current guys. In a way, under Remy Gardy being very, very cautious, and you know, I can almost imagine him saying, you know, a draw will do us here. As long as whatever happens, don't lose this fixture. Ridiculous though it sounds, given how far adrift they are, I think the avoidance of defeat is going to be uppermost. I just can't go for them. I think that they are comfortably the worst side in the league and will go down. Norwich could stay up because they've shown enough in one or two games this season to suggest they've, you know, they've got what it takes. 21-20 is not giving anything away about the Canaries, no. Definitely not. But it's only Aston Villa, and you're at home to Aston Villa, who to me are a poor side. Yeah, okay, decent result for them against West Ham, but everybody seems to be drawing against West Ham these days. That followed up a draw against against Newcastle, which he could easily have lost. Take Jordan Ayew out of that side, and I just don't see any threat at all from them.
No, I tend to agree with you. I think I'm going to plump for the draw, though, you know. I said they have to win it, Norwich, but I'm not sure they'll... The one thing that he seems to have got out of them, the new manager, is the ability to not lose, which, as you said, you know, is key for them at the moment. Drew at Southampton, drew at Newcastle. I'm not sure Norwich is any harder a place to go than either of those. So Norwich have drawn their last 2 against Arsenal, Everton. Admittedly, those 2 teams are much better than Villa. I've got a sneaky suspicion that as much as Norwich want to win it, I don't think they'll quite manage it. I'm gonna stick with the draw here. I think, you know, there's a little, you'll love the, I know you love like the kind of the stats that go around the festive season, like wins on Boxing Day and all that. Norwich haven't won their final league game in a calendar year since 2010. They drew in 2011 and lost in 12, 13 and 14. Last time Aston Villa ended with a victory was in 2011. So, draw.
Yeah, it sounds like, doesn't it?
That's how I do things. It's 12-5 the draw as well, so we'll stick with that. Yeah, let's have a look at West Brom versus Newcastle next. The Baggies are 6-5, 11-5 the draw. Newcastle are 12-5. Newcastle seem to be getting better. They seem to be slowly but surely getting better. Unfortunate to lose the game to Everton. I think they probably deserved a draw out of it. And if Mitrovic had got that header anywhere near on target, I think they may have at least got a share of the spoils. West Brom, Derek. I mean, my nap was them to win, obviously, with Berahino to score. Berahino scoring was obviously adding a bit too much to it, but I thought they'd win that game at Swansea. Suddenly, Swansea turned it on. And West Brom look poor, really. Yeah. Can you pick a winner out of this?
It's a tough one. I mean, I think you're overrating Newcastle there. I thought Everton were comfortably the better side. First half, they murdered them. Second half, yeah, it was an open game, and, you know, they might have got a goal, but They were quite, I thought they were second best against Everton, but it's West Brom. When you're losing against Swansea, Swansea side who are managerless, confidenceless, you know, pretty winless for a long time, something's not quite right at West Brom, is it? I couldn't possibly back them at 6-5 here. That's way too short. Mm. Newcastle, you're right. You never know what you're going to get from them. I've got to back Newcastle here on the prices. You know, it's not a 10 fixes over these next few days. This would be the 10th game I'd have a bet on. It's a tough one to call. But I'd have to go for Newcastle at these odds. I just couldn't touch West Brom.
Yeah, it is a really tricky one. It's the one that I looked at and thought, I've had to look at the fact that I think in a similar way to, you know, we talked about Villa in the game against Norwich, how they'd be comfortable and happy with the draw. I think Newcastle would be all right with a draw coming away from West Brom. And West Brom don't do an awful lot. You know, I think they've scored 22 goals in 18 home matches under Tony Pulis. That's averaging 1.22 a game. They've also got the league low shots on target as well. So they're not exactly a particularly forward thinking. I think it's 100. Oh, it's not shots on target. It's just shots. 155 shots in the Premier League in 2015-16. It's the lowest in the league. And I think Newcastle will be pretty happy coming away with a point here. So I think if Newcastle set up that way, I think West Brom will find it hard to break them down. So I'll go draw here. The Baggies in Newcastle 11-5. Next up, let's have a look at two teams who are on the up. Everton versus Stoke. Ooh, yeah. Everton 19-20, 5-2 the draw. 14-5 here for Stoke, Derek. It just about qualified for the betting Bible. But I got a copy of the betting Bible for Christmas, by the way. So
what you've always wanted.
I read it by Christmas Day, but and I knew the one page was in it. I knew that anyway. 3-1. Team away from home. So does Stoke qualify?
Well, they do. I mean, you know, the Bible's had a few amendments recently, but this story, you know, I would stick with the 3-1 poke here. It was 14-5, mainly because they're playing so well, and when they play the big team, Stoke, and I'd class Everton as that, to be honest, they're raising the game. I mean, that was another great performance by them at the weekend, followed up that one against Manchester City. You know, give them the tougher tests, Stoke answer. It's the lesser games that maybe the concentration goes awry. Mm. You know, Everton, these are two teams I like to be on the right side of. I think they're two teams that are who are much better than the odds compilers say. And Stoke certainly proved that at the weekend against United. They were vastly overpriced for that game. No, it's not easy to win at Goodison. We know that. But Leicester went there and won well a couple of weeks ago. And the thing about Everton, they marmalised the team at the weekend in the first half. And then looked as though they were going to come away without the 3 points yet again against Newcastle. It was only a last-minute header that got them all 3 points. They're not winning enough games. They're turning in the performances, but they're not winning enough games. They're giving the opposition chances. And I think the way Stoke are playing right now, I think almost 3-1, that's got to be worth a bet.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? I know you're more impressed with Everton than I am, but I think Stoke have been, you know, they've been so good. Kept a clean sheet in 8 of the last 11 Premier League matches. 5 of the last 6 Premier League away games. I mean, that away form. Remember, they were never that clever away from home, were they? So that 5 clean sheets in the last 6 Premier League games away from home is more than they'd kept in the previous 33 away games. I mean, he's really got a tune out of them. I mean, Arnautovic looks fantastic, doesn't he? I mean, he seems to have grown in the last year. He looks like he's so confident. I've got to go for it. And I think the draw is a huge player in this game, admittedly, because it's two good teams. I think they'll have a real go at each other as well. I think Stoke will be happy to sit in and let Everton try and attack them down the wings. I think we could see a few goals here. I was looking at the over 2.5 as a bet because I couldn't quite decide who would win the game. But I think I'm tempted to go with you here, go with your idea of Stoke being just a bit bigger, and you know, by the time the match kicks off, if that creeps up any higher, then I think it's an absolute must bet. The over 2.5 is even money. I think in an entertaining game between the two of them, I think that's worth a little look as well. In fact, I might just play that and be a proper weakling about it and leave the 3-1 to you in those overs unders tables that you get for the Premier League teams. Everton averaged 3.11 goals per game in their matches. Stoke are a lot lower than that, but I think Everton might have their way here, and I think Stoke will have to react to Everton's way of play. So I'll go over 2.5 and sit on the fence for the actual match results. Palace versus Swansea next, Derek. Palace, tricky one here, isn't it? Palace at home to Swansea. Obviously, Palace, funny result for them at the weekend. I thought, you know, I thought there'd be a great bet to go away to Bournemouth and get a result. Didn't do it. I thought Swansea would get mullered by West Brom. So kind of both of these teams did the exact opposite. I thought they would. What happens here? I mean, Swansea looked a bit better, to be fair. I mean, they've seen a lot of the fans. I looked at a few fans on Twitter to see what they said after the game, just to get a bit of an idea. And it seemed they just went back to what they always did. They'd lost their way a little bit under Gary Monk. He wasn't doing what he'd got him success. And they've just gone back to passing the ball around and doing what they do. Interesting one. If they can do that at Palace, though, what will they do? Just keep the ball? And can Palace break them down? 10 to 11?
Yeah, too short. I mean, you know, I've said it many times. I don't fancy Palace at home. They don't win enough games at home. It's their away form, and I keep them riding high. And even that's gone off a little bit as well. You know, but I don't think that was a great result at Bournemouth for them. And then that followed that away performance at Everton when they stole a draw, really. They were outclassed at the Everton game. Something that, you know, like Stoke, I wanted to keep Palace on the right side of this season, but they're not. They're just not firing right now. Now, having said at the beginning of this bulletin, never overreact to one match, one result, I'm going to have to give Swansea a squeak here at a threes, because that was a big performance and a massive result for them at the weekend. You know, I didn't see it coming. And maybe the fact that they've got rid of the manager, maybe that has worked, the Oracle. Maybe, you know, the new guy's come in and, you know, he's lifted morale, lifted confidence. Maybe the players just didn't fancy turning on anymore for Gary Monk. But you've got to look up, you've got to sit up and take notice of that 3-1, you know, against the Palace side that do give teams chances on their own patch. If Swansea were to get back to the form of last season, that 3-1 would look, you know, would look mega. I'm going to give them a go. I'm going to give them a go here at 3-1.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm as confident in Swansea's away form as to go for the full 3-1. A few little stats here which play into your hands, though, Derek. These are crackers, these three, especially for Swansea fans, if you're listening. They've got a brilliant record against Palace. They've only they've won three of the last four away trips at Selhurst Park, losing one, winning three. The Eagles have only won one of the last eight league matches against Swansea, drawing three, losing four. And Alan Pardew's got a shocking record. He's picked up 8 points in eight previous Premier League encounters with Swansea. Winning two, drawing two, and losing two. So if that's anything to go by, I don't know what it is about Swansea's style of play that he finds it hard to, you know, manage against. Yeah, I think the Swansea plus one just gives you enough to be able to have a look at the draw no bet here. I know you're not a big fan. 13-8 Swansea draw no bet in a game that I think is pretty hard to call. I think, you know, getting your money back on the draw or the 13-8 for a Swansea win. I'll take that. I think Swansea plus the goal is 4-6, by the way, but that's a little short. Even though you're getting two results, I'll go Swansea draw no bet. I think the draw is a pretty big player in that one. Although I know you like the 3-1. Watford versus Tottenham. Let's have a look at this one. This is the 3 o'clock kickoff, the last of the 3 o'clocks on Bank Holiday Monday. 5-2 Watford. Tottenham 23-20 and 9-4 the draw. First whisperings this weekend, Derek, about Tottenham as champions.
Don't see it.
That, can you?
No, you look at the Tottenham side, and it's not championship quality. It isn't. I mean, you know, you've got Harry Kane scoring goals. You've got Dele Alli, who, you know, pulling the strings behind Eriksen, still doing well. But they don't they don't seem to have the strength and depth to me. They ain't going to be champions, Tottenham. And I think I don't think the bookies are giving anything away here. 23-20. It's a bit of an insult to Watford there, because Watford have had two very, very good results. You know, okay, drawing away at Chelsea, maybe not the great result it once was. But, you know, they're still going through a great run. It's a long time since they lost, battered Liverpool on their own patch a couple of weeks ago. Why shouldn't they beat Tottenham? I don't see why they shouldn't. And I think the odds are wrong. I don't think they should be as long as 5-2 here. I think it's a very good price about Watford.
You do, yeah. You think they can beat them?
Yeah, I think they'll beat Tottenham, yeah. They're playing above themselves at the moment, Watford. I'm not that impressed by Tottenham, you know. I don't see it. I'm prepared to back Tottenham at big prices, at big grounds, you know. But 23-20 against a side like Watford, who are nobody's mugs. So, no, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It's I think the different thing about Tottenham this year is that maybe They just look a bit steadier. Normally, I am the first to criticise how weak they look in midfield, but something about them this year, they have got a little bit more steel and they can dig out results. Since losing away to Man United, by the way, Tottenham are unbeaten away from home in the Premier League, winning 3 and drawing 4. Derek mentioned Harry Kane, of course. He's in great form at the moment. He scored 27 Premier League goals this calendar year, which is more than any other player. And there's one there's a lot of, you know, the European football purists will know this, Derek. But the last time these two managers met was when Kiko Sanchez Flores Atletico Madrid beat Pochettino's Espanyol outfit 4-0 November 2009. I'm sure everyone remembers that game. I just thought
you took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm going for Harry Kane to score. Yeah, I just want to be on Harry Kane's bandwagon for the rest of the season. Really, I think he's a tremendous striker. I like everything about him. Really, 13-10 to score any time. I think there'll be a couple of goals in this. Watford hadn't been scoring goals at home, but as everyone probably remembers from the last couple of podcasts, I reminded them that all the goals have come in the last few games with those two strikers scoring them all. So I think Tottenham will be happy for Watford to come onto them, and it could be I'd go for Tottenham 2-1 here. I think Tottenham will just pip Watford, but I understand why you're going for them. They've been excellent so far this season. They've still only scored 9 goals at home, and like I said, I think 6 of those have come in the last few games. So I'll go Tottenham if I had to pick an outright, but Harry Kane to get on the score sheet. And let's do Arsenal Bournemouth. 4-11 the Gunners, 15-2 Bournemouth, and the price for the draw is 19-5. Just when you think Arsenal are title contenders, they go and do what Arsenal do, basically, which is go and lose unexpectedly. Weird thing is, I don't know if you remember this, Derek, we were talking about Southampton last season when they went on that 6-match streak where they couldn't win a game, lost 5. They won on Boxing Day against Everton last year to stop that rot. Same thing this year. I think it was just before Boxing Day. They beat Arsenal New Year's Day last year 2-0. This time again, 6 games, no win, 5 losses, and they beat Arsenal on Boxing Day.
They murdered
them. It's ridiculous how similar that run is and how he's managed to snap the run at the same time. But as for Arsenal, I mean, geez, I mean, 4-11, you can't back Arsenal at 4-11 against anyone, can you? But they should beat Bournemouth.
Well, they should, yeah. But, you know, the price forbids you to have a bet on it. This is a team that's just been pulverised 4-0. And, you know, one or two people have been raising in the papers after that game where Arsenal tired of, you know, they haven't got that much strength and depth, a lot of players injured. You know, they look to be running on empty. I'm not so sure because some of those players, they've been injured themselves. And some of the players who played on Saturday have been injured themselves. Yeah, like the likes of Theo Walcott and players like that, they haven't exactly been, you know, at the pumps every single game. I think it was a team that was believing its own publicity. You know, when after they beat the Manchester City game on Monday, Arsenal, you know, title favourites, this is a team that's going to win the league finally. I think they believed their own publicity. I think they only had to turn up at Southampton to win. And they got a rude awakening. I don't think you'll see that this time around. I think they'll be fired up because Wenger will get them fired up. But the 4-11, I can't bring myself to back them. I don't think Bournemouth are long enough for 15-2 either. You know, I've just had a tough one this one. Arsenal will probably win, but no way would I back them at 4-11. I might go for, you know what I'll do? I might go for Bournemouth on the handicap. Plus 2 goals, they're only 8-13. But you never know. The way they're playing at the moment, they're not losing to any games now, Bournemouth, are they? So I'll go for Bournemouth with 1 goal, and that's 9-5, almost 2-1.
Yeah, I was just looking at the goals. I mean, Arsenal, you know, they scored 13 at home this season, but they only conceded 6. So that's pretty good in this Premier League. Bournemouth scored 12 away from home, but conceded 19. So I was looking at... Again, I'm with you. 4-11, it's well short. I mean, I know a lot of people put it in Accas, and you know they'll probably win, so it'll be, you know, a good one to stick in an Acca. But I'm struggling to find a way in, really, Derek. Yeah, you look at the handicaps the other way, the Arsenal handicaps. Obviously, there's not an awful lot of value in a -1. I just wonder if they can, you know, if there's enough there to go for -2, and if they can put 3 past Bournemouth. But as you say, if Bournemouth score, then they've got to score 4. It's a very tricky game to play,
yeah,
isn't it? I think.
I
think, you know, again, you know, team news is everything at this time of year, but I'd be happy to go back onto with the Giroud thing. He's obviously been scoring goals for fun this season. You know, I think, you know, against, you know, teams like Bournemouth, he should get chances. Giroud to score an Arsenal to win, only 11-8. But, you know, you look at I mean, even to score first is 130, Derek. It's absolutely shocking, the prices here.
Yeah, I know.
In the end, I just looked at the goals and I thought, well, you know, if you ever look at the total match goals, over 2.5 is 8-13. Now, given all the prices that we've just been quoting, Derek, I don't think that's the worst price in the world. So I think Bournemouth can get a goal here against this Arsenal team, who, if they are fatigued, you know, maybe a little bit shaky at the back. And let's be fair, if Mertesacker's playing with anyone at the back, he looks shaky anyway. So I'm going to go for that. It's a bit of a shorty, I know, but it's not quite as short as Arsenal. Over 2.5 goals in the match at 8-13. You could obviously chuck that in with Arsenal as well to get a little bit better. Arsenal win and over 2.5 would be where you'd look there. And that's 17-20. So, you know, it gives you a little bit closer to even money. Final game then, Derek, is the other 5:30, which is West Ham versus Southampton. We're just talking a little bit about Southampton before.
I can't believe these odds, Lee. I cannot believe these odds. Southampton 6-5. It's just way too short, isn't it? I can't believe it.
Right, they've broken that. They've broken that now. They're all right now. West Ham are a strange team at the moment, aren't they? We're told that more and more players are coming back, and we've been told that, you know, they should be getting some of the big guns back for this game or maybe the following game. I think we're talking about players being back for the Liverpool game, which is the one on whenever the next set of games are, New Year, the day after New Year's Day. But if they're still short here, you know, if they're still a weakened team, I can see why people might be on Southampton.
Oh, no, I can't. Honestly, God, I've never been as shocked about Premier League prices as I am in this game. I really am. There's only one bet you can have, and that's West Ham. Okay, they're not winning that many games lately, but they should not be 12-5 at home to Southampton. They're classing West Ham like Aston Villa or somebody. It's beyond belief. It really is beyond belief. That's, you know, it's a pity this isn't like the turn of the year, because it would already be my bet of the year if we'd have gone into January. January the 1st, it would be my bet of the year. But it still is. Anyway, 28th of December, bet of 2015, West Ham, 12-5 to beat Southampton.
You've had more bet 2015 than
Yes, but this is the difference about this one. It might win.
The others have won.
Yeah, they have actually.
I'm not so sure about it. I get you that it's a big price, but there's an interesting one. I was looking at the stats, and none of the last 12 games between these two at the Bowling Ground have ended in a draw. 9 wins for West Ham, incidentally, out of the 12. So it's due a draw, this fixture, 11-5. Southampton have won away at West Ham last year, of course. I'm gonna sit squarely on the fence here. I mean, you know, going back to what we were saying about Southampton and how they turned that form around last season. Well, you know, they went on a really good run after that, as I said, including beating Arsenal on New Year's Day. So maybe if he's got them, if he's managed to break that losing run that they had, and it's so similar to last year, maybe they can go on another little run again. But I'm with you, Derek. Can't back them at 6-5. Don't think West Ham are good enough to win at the prices, despite 12-5 being very tempting. So I'm going to go for a draw on this one. I think it's a, you know, it's a reasonable price. It's short, you know, shorter than the West Ham win, but 11-5 is decent, I think. So I'll go for that. Let me reveal Dave's snapshot before we both pick.
Go on then.
Not really fair, given that he's not here, but he's gone for Sunderland to beat Liverpool.
Has he? Yeah, big price. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, 15-4.
I couldn't argue with that.
Yeah, fair enough that he's going for that. But you there's a couple that I thought you might go for.
Go on, what were they? Stoke.
Well, I thought you liked Stoke. Obviously, West Ham, you were pretty strong on West Ham just now, as soon as you called it the bet of the year. And I thought you liked Chelsea as well.
Yeah, I do, actually. Well, I've just gone 11-5 now, Chelsea. We were talking about the 2-1. They're now 11-5. I would. You know what? Having said that, West Ham are my bet of the year. I'm going for Chelsea. No, I'm not. I'm only kidding. I'm going for West Ham at 12-5 to beat Southampton. But I wouldn't argue about Chelsea as well. That's a good bet as well. Who are you going for?
I'll go for Chelsea then, in that case.
That's a great treble, that. That is a very good treble.
I think given what Man United, I think the Man United players will raise the game a little bit, but I just think the third devoid. I think Man United, Derek, are where Chelsea were about a week or two ago.
Yeah.
There's nothing they can do at the moment. I mean, the mistakes they're making, the lack of confidence in their play in general. I think Chelsea, given the way we saw them come out of the box in that first game under Hiddink, or when Hiddink was in the stand, and the second game, how well they played, I think they'll go for the throat here. I think they'll absolutely go for Man United. They'll know how weak they are and how much they're struggling, and I think they'll have a right old go for Man U here. So I was stunned at the price, to be fair. So, yeah, I'll take that. So we're going. It's 15 to 4 Sunderland for Dave Calner. I'm going to put this together if the internet will let me. Derek, you're going to go for West Ham at 12 to 5.
Yep.
And I'm going for Chelsea, as Derek said, has just gone 11 to 5 as we record this. It does look a nice treble, this.
Yeah, it does.
50 to 1, Derek.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's got a nice little ring to it.
Yeah, as ever, play the Trixie.
The ring of confidence.
To be fair, with 12 to 5, 11 to 5, and 15 to 4, the Trixie won't be too bad. Anyway, get one of them doubles up, and you'll make a little bit on your treble, on your stake. Derek, thanks very much for doing this on a Sunday evening. Really appreciate it. We'll be back for the second and third of January games very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.